from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top pages of football. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Little NFL Lunch on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. NFL season creeping up closely. What's the old saying? What's in the rearview mirror is closer than it may actually seem.
Yes.
September 5th will be here before you know it. The Ravens will be at that gee-haw at Arrowhead trying to get some revenge for the AFC Championship game. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Let's welcome in from CBSSports.com to preview the season just a little bit. First time on the show, at least since I've been around, Brian DiArdo. Brian, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan.
Yeah, it is my first time, and it's a pleasure to be on with you guys. I'm always looking forward to talking some football, especially with Week 1 on the horizon.
You got that right. And we'll stay with the AFC North, not necessarily the Ravens to begin with, but the teams chasing them as they are the defending champions, and in particular, Pittsburgh and Cleveland. As we sit here, Brian, on August the 19th, I'm going to ask you the same thing I've asked others who cover the NFL. Who's got the better quarterback situation, Cleveland or Pittsburgh?
That's a great, great question. I would honestly go with Pittsburgh because I think of the upside. I think obviously Watson, there's obviously a body of work there, but there's clearly the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, and the Cleveland Browns. And his last game I think was against Baltimore last year when he got injured, but had that incredible second half where he completed, I think, all of his passes despite, you know, the injury that he had. But I like the upside in Pittsburgh because as long as they can protect whoever is going to be their quarterback, I think that there's a lot of upside there. I think Russell Wilson, from what he's shown in Pittsburgh, I mean, he still has his ball, right? He can still throw an accurate ball. He's still a good decision maker. I will say he looked a little hesitant on Saturday night, which was surprising to me. And I think Fields has really surprised the Steelers with how well he's thrown the football, how coachable he's been, how he has changed his footwork and a couple of his technical things, which is, you know, that's not necessarily a norm. A guy, a former first-round pick, all the success he's had, is willing to make that kind of drastic changes to his game. So, I think, you know, Watson at his best is still a Pro Bowl-level quarterback. But I'd rather have, either Fields or Russell Wilson and the options that they provide.
How do you see the Steelers adapting to Arthur Smith's offense?
Well, so here's the funny part. You know, I think right now in Pittsburgh, everybody's saying, you know, it's obviously, you know, things aren't good, right? I mean, the offense has scored just a handful of points through two games. But if you remember last year, Kenny Pickett was lighting up the preseason, and we saw how that played out. So, you know, the Steelers are really a case study in how the preseason may not matter. But I think it's going to be a night and day difference. I think it's clear now that Matt Canada's offense was extremely predictable. Patrick Queen, you know, former Raven, actually recently during camp, explained verbatim how predictable the offense was, and even going through specifics like, you know, Pat Freiermuth lined up on this side, we knew they were going to be running, you know, X play. So it was pretty predictable. It's going to be a run first offense, and their goal is to let other teams beat themselves and control the ball again, kind of an old school style game, which, hey, Ravens fans understand that, you know, the 2000s Ravens and all of that. So that's what they want to do. I think they have the personnel to absolutely do it. The main question mark is who's going to be quarterback. And they have had some injuries on that offensive line. So Nate Herbig, who is going to start the year at center, is now going to be out for the season. So I know Baltimore has some question marks pertaining to the offensive line, and I think Pittsburgh does as well. But you know, but they have two really good running backs. They still have several really good players on defense led by T.J. Watt. I think if their quarterback performs better than Kenny Pickett slash Mason Rudolph slash Mitch Trubisky last year, they're going to be a playoff team, and I think that the, you know, the quarterbacks they have now will outperform last year's quarterbacks.
Hey, Brian, what do you think of the new kickoff rule now that you've seen it for a couple weeks?
I'm okay with it. You know, I think my concern or my question is, if you're going to go all in, I don't know, I'd love to hear your guys' opinion. If you're going to go all in like they did, making these kind of radical changes, why wouldn't you just go all in and implement the 4th and 12 when you score? You get a 4th and 12 at your own 25 or 4th and 10, 4th and 15, whatever you want to do, to keep the ball and keep it going. Because isn't this all about entertainment? They basically have eliminated the onside kick. You basically now can only do it in the 4th quarter, and you have to notify the team that you're going to do it. So, like, there's a 0 point. It's like the, you know, the Animal House GPA. It's a 0.00 chance that's going to work, right? So I don't know why they didn't just go all in, but I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's, for the media like us, I mean, it definitely now, you know, I stopped paying attention during kickoffs, to be totally honest with you. I was looking at stats, or I was, you know, updating Twitter, doing whatever. Now I have to, like, watch kickoffs, which is kind of weird for me. So I don't think it's that bad. It's super weird to look at, but I just wish they would have gone all in and added the onside kick alternative. That would have made it even more interesting.
Hey, Brian, the AFC East, now with Milano going to be out for a while, where do you see the East? Because I'm not a big, you know, Buffalo believer, where I am much more so with Jets or with Miami, if Weaver can get the defense squared away.
No, I think it's obviously down to Buffalo and Miami. I think New England, I think we can all agree, is going to be kind of in rebuild mode. Now, for whatever reason, and maybe, you know, I'm not sure why, I almost think I wouldn't sleep on the Bills. You know, I just think that, think their offense now, and you saw it in the playoffs a lot. Basically, if teams bottled up Stephon Diggs, and this is the thing with Buffalo that I never really understood, they never just committed to the running game, ever. You know, when they had Gordon Singletary, you know, I'm going back 5 years, they kind of did. But in the playoffs, and again, Ravens fans know this. I'm preaching to the choir here. But you can talk about passing games and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you win championships by playing defense and running the ball, especially in cold weather climates like the AFC East. And that's what Miami needs to continue to do. Now, their running game, I think, is going to be even better this year. They like their rookie. They still have Mostert. So they're strong with the running game. But I wouldn't sleep on Buffalo. I really like what I'm hearing about Keon Coleman. They still have Dalton Kincaid, who came on strong at the end of last year. Dawson Knox, they have a really good tight end combo. Milano getting hurt absolutely kills them. And really for Buffalo in recent years, I mean, they just haven't had a break with injuries, especially on defense. But, you know, that division should be Miami's. It really should be. But I think only two teams are probably going to get out of that division. The Jets are really the wild card, so I guess three. I'm kind of pivoting here as we talk. I'm going to go to the Jets. I'm going to go to the Jets in Miami, and then Buffalo, I think, is going to scrap for a playoff spot. I think Buffalo and Pittsburgh are basically kind of the same team. They're a team with some bright spots, but with some question marks. New England's going to be a doormat, which is weird to say. But I think for the Jets, it's going to be obviously the health of Aaron Rodgers. But that defense is lights out. I mean, that defense, that offensive line, the secondary, there's not a lot of question marks with the Jets. It's just going to keep Rodgers healthy. But that's going to be a tough, tough division. I like the Jets, and then Miami second, and Buffalo is going to be scrapping for that wild card spot.
I'm kind of anxious to really see the NFC North. I think it's going to be really interesting because, you know, Detroit is going to be good. The Packers are going to be good. Looks like Chicago with Caleb Williams, they're going to be much improved. And with the Vikings, we'll see, you know, how they are with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the North is going to be super interesting. I actually was wondering if the Vikings might try to trade for Kenny Pickett, who, you know, had all that success with, well, because they might need some help at quarterback. I'm not really sold on Aaron Donald. I mean, and you know, or Sam Darnold, right? Aaron Donald, I wouldn't be sold at a quarterback either. But right. I just think they need some help with quarterback. And if any team is willing to give anybody up, I would go for it. And the only reason why I said Pickett is, they're just, as you guys know, I mean, quarterbacks are a rare commodity.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Commodity out there. It's hard to find really, really good proven veteran quarterbacks. But I will say one thing about Sam Darnold, though. I mean, you know, a lot of people, and obviously his career hasn't panned out for being a former, you know, high first round pick, top five pick. But I will say this: he did have a 7-6 record for the Jets in 19, which is like going 14-2 for anybody else, or like Matt Castle with the 08 Patriots. And then he had a little bit of success with Carolina back in 2022. When they fired their coach and they had an interim situation going on. But, you know, he had success back then with a good running game and a good defense. And I think, you know, Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler, they have some good weapons for him. So he's just got to man that ship. But I think, you know, yeah, I think this is going to be Green Bay and the Lions kind of battling it out there. I don't know. I just don't see Minnesota doing anything without a quarterback. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think the wild card there is going to be the Bears. I'm not ready with them yet. I think Williams has definitely shown some things, but I think he's still too raw, and I think there's still too many question marks on that team.
Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, joining us here, video at Handy 105.7 The Fan. Brian, last thing for you, NFC East, Washington Commanders, sleeper team, yes or no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love the Commanders. I'm so glad you asked that question. I love what Quinn's doing. You know, I love what I think they can do on offense. Austin Eckler was a really underrated signing. They still have some good pieces on defense. And I think that division is down in general. The Giants, Cowboys, I'm not expecting, you know, much out of those two teams. I mean, the Eagles, you know, should win that division, but you know, they fell apart at the end of last year, and we're still curious to see what's going to happen there. So, no, I definitely think that the Commanders could be that team that sneaks into the playoffs. So, I think they're legitimate. And I don't know what their over-under is in Vegas, but I'd be betting the over and maybe getting some Christmas money around that time.
Yeah, note to self. Yeah, at the over on Washington. Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com. Brian, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan. We look forward to talking to you quite often over the next few months here.
Oh, please do. Thanks again.
You got it. Brian DiArdo, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. I think you talked him into the Jets, by the way, in the AFC. Yeah. He wouldn't mention it. And then he's like, by the end of it, oh, I'm picking them to win it. As long as he didn't say New England. We'll come back. American League East report what happened in the division last night, yesterday. Look ahead at today's schedule as well. And we'll talk about the Mets as they host the Orioles 3-game set starting tonight up at Citi Field. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts with Tim Barbalace and Mike Bordick coming up at 7. Tim Britton having some fun. Bottom of the hour.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
The Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
All right, top your American League East report here on this Monday. Orioles win yesterday 4-2 as they beat the Red Sox, salvage a split of the four-game series. Albert Suarez gets the win. He was outstanding. Scattered 7 hits, shutout ball. Bullpen made it interesting, as they normally do, but a win nonetheless. Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson both went deep. So the Orioles only 3 hits, 2 of them left the yard, yep, and another run scored on a throwing error. And they scored 4 runs. And we'll take it. Boston had runners all over the diamond yesterday.
14.
I mean, that was very Orioles-like with runners in scoring position. So the Red Sox hanging around in the wild card, and we'll get to that here in a second, they got to be frustrated with a missed opportunity to take 3 out of 4 from the Orioles. Dominguez gets the save as he's now become the closer for the Birds of Baltimore. So good for him, and congratulations to him and everything he's accomplished so far. The Mets tonight, Orioles 73-52, 36-24 on the road. Trevor Rogers, 2-11, 489. Mets 64-60, 33-32 at home. David Peterson, 7-1 with a 306. Mets got 3 lefties throwing at the Birds throughout the course of this series. We'll talk more about that bottom of the hour with Tim Britton. But the Orioles at Citi Field taking on New York. Now, the Orioles did get some help late last night. If you missed it, it's the College or Little League World Series, I should say, going on. I don't know how much everyone's watching this, but it's interesting. By the way, does any umpire in any level of baseball know how to call balls and strikes anymore?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it's like a bunch of Angel Hernandezes working in the Little League World Series. But anywho, up in Williamsport, the Tigers were down. Then they battle back. Then it goes into extras. And then they do the Orioles a solid in the 10th.
Swings and sends it to left. Dominguez got a good arm. They're going to wave him. A delay on the throw. He is safe!
Parker Meadows, ESPN on the call. Walk-off single in the bottom of the 10th as the Yankees blow this one 3-2. To the Tigers, who take 2 out of 3 in the series, winning the last 2. Clay Holmes, we sit here and boo-hoo about Craig Kimball, and rightfully so, because he's been bad. It's his 10th blown save. That guy made the All-Star team this year. I believe he went through the first month and a half of the season with a 0 earned run average. Now he's one of the shakiest relievers in all of baseball, but that's a Yankee problem. Also going on in Major League Baseball, and in particular the American League East, Tampa taking on Arizona, defending National League champions, feeling the sting in the extras.
And a liner into left. That's going to be a narrow base hit, and the Rays are going to win it. A base hit off the bat of Carlson, scoring Jackson, and the Rays win this one in 12.
How about that? 12 innings. Dylan Carlson with the game-winning hit. Dwayne Stats on the call, Bally Sports, as Tampa scores 2 runs to walk that one off and sweep the series. Arizona's been playing well as any team in baseball. Yep. And Tampa just got swept by Houston. Then they sweep Arizona. So it's a crazy thing. That's why they play the games. Toronto, well, it's been a long season for them. But they did salvage one against the Cubbies yesterday.
He clubs this one to right. And it is gone. Joey Loperfido with a home run. And how good does that feel for that young man as he rounds the bases?
They had Schulman on the call there, and that was all she wrote. One zip, final score. The Cubbies do win the series 2-1, but Toronto, it's been a disastrous season for them. They do manage to get one today in the division. Cincinnati is at the Blue Jays, 7:07. Boston at Houston, 8:10. Tampa's at Oakland, 9:40. Tomorrow in the Bronx, the Yankees and Guardians start a big 3-game series there. So let's go Cleveland. I mean, the Orioles obviously have to handle their own business against the Mets, but we'll see what Cleveland can do against the Pinstripers. Standings in the American League East as follows. Orioles and Yankees identical, 73-52. Tied for first. Boston 7 back. Tampa's 10 off the pace. And Toronto bringing up the rear at 14.5. Cleveland 2 games up on the Twins in the Central. Kansas City is 3 back there. Royals have won 4 in a row. Out West, Houston has taken command of that one. They're up 4 games there. We talked about this earlier with Byers. So Texas has fallen 11 games off the pace. National League East, Phillies are 7 games up on the Braves. Milwaukee, 11 games up, Vinny.
Jeez.
In the NL Central, I think your boy Murph is a shoe-in for a manager of the year.
I think Murph is shoe-in there, Bob. And Scooble, I think he's a shoe-in for Cy Young.
Oh, in the American League.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, but manager of the year in the American League is probably Stephen Vogt, I would think, for the Cleveland Guardians. Mm-hmm. Even though Schilt might get a little run in San Diego with the Padres, who, by the way, are 3 games off the pace in the West behind the Dodgers. Then you got the Diamondbacks 4 out. Wild card, which is always fun and exciting to listen to. Remember how it was always this team's, there were like 5 teams within a half a game?
Yes.
Starting to thin the herd a little bit here.
Bob, what are you thinking about? We talked about a little bit last week about, because there's a lot of talk, you know, about them moving the trade deadline till August 15th. And then there would be a lot more. Just look at now, because what is the date today? What, like the 7th? 19th.
19th.
So it would have been like last week and a lot more sellers.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. Isn't hockey's trade deadline like right before the playoffs?
Yeah.
Like the playoffs start tomorrow if you want to make a trade to boost your team. Wild cards in the American League. Yankees, Twins, and Royals if the playoffs start today. Boston 3.5 out. Seattle's 5.5 out. Tampa 6.5, so they're closer there than they are in the division. But Detroit, Toronto, we're trimming the fat in the National League. Padres, Diamondbacks, and Braves would be the wild cards. The Mets are 2 games back there. Then you have the Giants 4 back, St. Louis 5, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're starting to see a thinning of the herd, if you will, there. We'll talk more about the Mets and their playoff chances. They're not done, as we said. They're only 2 out of the wild card, but what needs to happen for them to make a run at the postseason? Tim Britton covers New York for The Athletic. He'll be joining us next. Then it's a full-on funhouse. We're not blowing it off anymore. Got the funhouse coming up, 1:45, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2, and then it is Baltimore baseball tonight with Tim Barbalace and Mike Bordick at 6. Orioles Mets, we're talking about it here on The Fan. 2 games out in the National League wild card chase, and here to talk about this series from a New York perspective as he covers the Mets for The Athletic. Let's welcome into the show Tim Britton. Tim, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. What's up?
A little of this, a little of that. And let's talk about this David Peterson guy. He's 7-1 on the year. Not exactly blasted away at 98-99 on the gun, but he has been crafty as all get out so far this season in 13 starts. Matter of fact, the Mets tossing out 3 lefties against the Orioles in this series. What has made David Peterson such a tough get so far in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Peterson's career, really, since he debuted back in 2020, and the key for him, like, he's going to put runners on base. He's not a guy who's going to cruise through 1-2-3 innings each frame, but when he puts guys on, does he bear down or does he not? Last year, he didn't. You know, he struggled. The ERA went up on him. This year, he's been at his best in those biggest spots. and that's allowed him to work around traffic inning after inning and limit the ERA. You know, the ERA, I think, is 3.04. The whip is 1.45 or something like that. So it's not like he's dominating in innings, but he has been at his best in the biggest moments. And so that's been critical for the Mets. You know, Peterson underwent offseason surgery on a hip labrum, and he said that's really allowed him to kind of put the ball where he wants it more consistently this year, and that's been one of the big differences with last year.
Now, the rotation in general, Tim, is we're now 6 weeks basically away from the end of the regular season with New York trying to get into that wild card consideration. How are things looking there? You know, like every team, the Orioles in particular, injuries are always a factor. What's the health situation for the Yankees, for the Mets in their rotation right now?
Yeah, I mean, well, the big loss has been Kodai Senga all season long. You know, he was out at the end of spring training, or sorry, at the start of spring training with a shoulder issue. It became a forearm issue. He finally gets back in late July. And then hurts his calf in his first start and out for the rest of the regular season. And that's deprived the Mets of that ace they expected to be at the top of their rotation. Behind Senga, they kind of built a rotation of mid-rotation starters. You know, guys like Jose Quintana and Sean Manaea, who the Orioles will also see this week. And Manaea and Quintana are two guys who really changed their pitch mix over the course of the season, emphasizing their secondary stuff more than the fastball. Manaea has become basically a two-pitch pitcher with his fastball and his big sweeping slider. He doesn't really throw anything in the 80s anymore, although he's getting back to throwing his changeup a bit the last couple of starts. And that's helped him pitch, you know, be at his best of late. Three of his last four starts, he's gone seven innings. Quintana has done kind of the same thing with his curveball, throwing a lot of curveballs off of his two-seam sinker. But hasn't had quite the same success of late. Early, you know, in June and July when the Mets turned it around, Quintana was really behind that, pitching his best of the season. So, you know, this isn't a staff that has a bunch of guys who are going to throw seven shutout at you. You know, Luis Severino the other day pitched a complete game shutout. That's the one this year. But they do have guys that they think can keep them in the game, can give them five or six innings, give up two or three runs, and allow the Mets offense, which they view as their strength, to carry them more.
Talking to Tim Britton from The Athletic about the New York Mets host the Orioles, three-game series starting tonight up there in Flushing. Now with the bullpen here in the Charm City, we got the crying towels out, Tim, because Kimbrel sucks, Perez has been terrible, Cano, I'm kind of paraphrasing our audience, of course, but what's the concern level with the bullpen in the Metsville as they're trying to, again, maintain some sort of maybe late-season run to a wild card spot here?
It's kind of similar to their rotation, and that's a bunch of options that they haven't quite figured out the hierarchy of yet. Outside of Edwin Diaz, who obviously has the ninth inning and has pitched much better after coming back from the injured list in June. He had gotten off to a rough start in his return from, you know, missing all of last season with the knee injury. But, you know, Carlos Mendoza is kind of rolling the dice each night and deciding who's going to get the seventh and eighth innings to get the ball to Diaz. They've got, you know, Phil Maton, who was in Houston for so many years and in Tampa to start the year. Ryan Stanek, kind of similar, who they brought in from Seattle at the trade deadline. You know, Jose Buto, who's a starter, who had been a starter for them in the minor leagues, has pitched really well out of the bullpen, kind of going in two inning stints. So it's kind of harder for them to deploy him on a night-to-night basis. And so they're still kind of trying to figure out what's the best mix to get it to Diaz, because, you know, the bullpen, when the bullpen has been, you know, not even great, but solid, that's when the Mets have been on their better runs during the season. The bullpen really struggled in the month of May. I think it had a 6 ERA. That was the month where they kind of tumbled out of contention for a little while.
Hey, Tim, has Steve Cohen kind of dialed it down a little bit?
I mean, certainly that was the decision they made last summer at the trade deadline, was that they were not going to go kind of all in free agency the way they had in the past. They weren't going to try to run it back with Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander at the start of the rotation. When the opportunity presented itself to move on from those pitchers and move on from some of the contract, they're still paying a lot of that money to Texas and Houston, respectively. They wanted to reset it, look at this year with David Stearns in charge now as the president of baseball ops, as a, you know, they won't say a reset year, but, you know, a lowered expectations year. They knew coming into the season that they were going to try to, they weren't going to try to win the NL East over Philly or Atlanta. They were going to try to win 85, 86 games and get into the wild card and see what happens in October. And then this offseason might be a bigger splash offseason. They've got Pete Alonso, their own free agent. Juan Soto is out there, of course. You know, Corbin Burnes is going to be out there, who Stearns has history with in Milwaukee. Max Fried, there's some bigger options for them this offseason than there were last offseason. And so we might see, you know, Cohen has dialed it back. I'm not sure for how long he'll do that.
Hey, Tim, how do you like the matchup with the Mets and Orioles for the next three games?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a critical series for the Mets, who haven't been playing their best since the trade deadline. You go back to, they had a 4-6 West Coast road trip where they lose a series in Anaheim to the Angels, get swept by Seattle, and outscored 22-1 in three games at T-Mobile Park. They come home and they're facing, you know, Oakland and Miami. You think that's a really good chance to get right, to win four or five out of the six games there. And they split them. They lose the series to Oakland. And now they've got Baltimore for three. Then they go on the road to San Diego and Arizona for seven games, two teams they're chasing in the NL wild card. So this is a huge series for them. They've got three of their better starters lined up for it in Peterson, Quintana, and Minaya. So it's a series that they've got to kind of take two out of three to salvage a homestand that's been disappointing so far.
I mean, it's all very touching, the dilemma that the Mets face, Tim. But the Orioles are tied for first. We got our own problems going on. You mentioned Carlos Mendoza real quick. And he replaced Buck Showalter, who we're obviously familiar with here in Baltimore. What went wrong with Buck? And how has Mendoza kind of come in and maybe changed things, stabilized things, with expectations not being as high as they were last year for the Mets?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that went wrong for Showalter was they brought in David Stearns. If they weren't going to make a change at the top of baseball operations, I think Showalter would still be here working with Billy Epler in the front office. But, you know, I don't think you find a lot of people around the Mets who look at what happened in 2023 when they had a kind of massively disappointing season and say, that's on the manager. You know, I think Showalter got a lot of credit for how he kind of held things together the final couple months of that season when it really could have spiraled on them. But with Stearns coming in, he wanted his own guy. You know, he knows that his personality and Showalter's personality probably don't mesh perfectly as a guy who wants to run everything. And so in Mendoza, they get someone who has some experience in the New York market because he was Aaron Boone's bench coach for several years, is known for kind of his communication skills. He's bilingual, of course. The way he kind of has an even-keeled demeanor and connects with players across the spectrum, young players, old players, players from all around the world. He's kind of shown that so far this season. You know, it is tough for any manager in his first year when you start 0-5 like the Mets did, or when you're 11 games under 500 as the Mets were at the end of May. And there's times this season could have gone sideways for Mendoza, and he's kind of reeled it back in for them, shown trust in the roster, trust in the talent, and the Mets have rewarded that, getting back into the postseason race over the last couple of months.
Tim Britton covers the Mets for The Athletic. Tim, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the series against the Orioles. With all due respect, hopefully the Black and Orange emerges victorious more often than not, and we'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tim. Tim Britton, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. It's a funhouse trip. We've been teasing it for 3 hours, but this time it's actually happening. Nothing can change the funhouse that's coming up next, and then it's Inside Access at 2, and then Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts as Tim Barbalace and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick get you ready for the Mets and Birds. Orioles trying to first team to go 8 of 10, 10 of 12 is going to win the American League East. We're talking about the Orioles and Yankees, I think.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Texter here talking about Albert Suarez. Says he's had a ton of scoreless outings this year, no matter how long they may have been. And there's people that still want him to be utilized as a reliever on this team. I think that's obtuse. The writing is on the wall. He's better fit as a starter right now.
Three straight scoreless outings as a starter, pushing 18 innings, and has been dominant at times. He scattered seven hits yesterday. And by the way, heading into the trade deadline, I was all about they put him in the bullpen. That power arm could help in high leverage situations. He has replaced Grayson Rodriguez. It has kind of been better than Grayson has been at times. Not to say missing a 13-game winner is something you can overcome. But, yeah, I'm all in. I'm Team Suarez, man. And back in spring training, it was like five Suarezes. It was the battling Suarezes. We didn't even know who they were. Now we do, in a big way.
Well, at one point the past couple weeks when you were out, we raised the question, if Grayson Rodriguez wasn't healthy enough to return for the playoffs, is Albert Suarez now your third-best starter in the rotation? And I think at this point, you got to say yes.
Absolutely. No. I mean, Burns is your number one ace, no doubt about it. Eflin's been great. It's got to be Suarez. And we'll see how the season plays out in regards to clinching and resting and hey, if you're just in a best of three, you're going with your top two guys. But, I mean, am I feeling better about Suarez versus Kramer in a Game 3 situation? Probably right now.
Right.
With all due respect to Man Bun there.
Where, I mean, yeah.
Man Bun had a good start to last
outing, but, you know, Suarez has been
every game. Yep. Yeah.
And Kramer's ceiling, like, his best start is higher than Suarez. I mean, we've seen him go 7-8 innings before, but it's hard to turn down, all right, here's a guaranteed 5 shutout innings.
Yeah, but Trevor Rogers, to the point, he needs to be better, but I don't think the rotation situation is as dire because of what Eflin's brought and what Suarez has brought. The bullpen, however, that's another story.
Well, speaking of the trade additions, this texter here, not happy, says Elias could have gotten a good relief pitcher at the trade deadline. As usual, tried to do it on the cheap. Gregory Soto, what a joke.
He's been very unfunny joke-like, but he looks like he's stabilizing just a little bit. I mean, guy's a former All-Star, and yeah, we would have liked to have Tanner Scott have a touching reunion coming back. But this whole on the cheap, didn't Soto sign through next year?
At least 1 year, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, Eflin's getting 18 mil. I don't think money had anything to do with the moves or lack thereof. Again, I don't think Tarek Skubal was getting traded.
No.
Not that he's a reliever, but you get the point.
This one here on the Ravens from Chris says, trying to keep things in perspective, but it's starting to feel like this could be a mediocre season. Too many O-line questions right now to believe that they can have sustainable success.
Well, here's the thing about it, like with run pass option and like option type stuff. O-linemen aren't as important. They just got to kind of get up and get their body in a way of, you know, like get up and seal linebackers and do those kind of things because, you know, when run pass option, Lamar's reading the end, so you don't have to block him. So, you know, that's what's going to have to happen.
Well, as far as the run blocking, and we know the Ravens love to pull guards and they've got all kinds of movement going on in their run game, but there was a moment on Saturday where Falele, they ran, I don't know, what a pitch out play almost. Yeah. There was a run to the right, and Falele comes over, and, I mean, he didn't even get his hands on anybody. I mean, he ran the right direction, but it was like, all right, who am I blocking? And he was just kind of standing there. And, of course, the play resulted in no gain or a loss of yards.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there watching him like, what are you doing? I mean, you can't get your hands on somebody.
Well, that's the one where he's got to get his head across because you're blocking. You got to get your body on the outside because you're trying to run to the outside. And, like, he can't get his head across, and then he can't sustain because that guy – like Falele just ran by the guy, and the guy ended up making a tackle for, like you said, a loss of one.
One more here on the Orioles. This texter, not optimistic either, says the Orioles are done. In fact, you stick a fork in them. No pitching left. Bullpen completely blown out with no starters either to save the day. And as the offense still won't change, home run or no run mentality. Sure, they put up big runs on Friday night, but even in that game, a ton of missed opportunities, runners left on base.
So done in what way? They're not going to make the playoffs. They should just stop playing and just concede the season and get ready for 2025.
We got a real problem if they don't make the playoffs.
Well, then I'll be whining just like everybody else. Soto signed through next year. Dominguez is a free agent after this year. But I don't think they're done. I mean, are the Yankees done? You know what I mean? I mean, they're tied for first with the Yankees, who just lost 2 out of 3 to the Tigers.
Right, and again,
what's done mean?
Think about how much things have changed since pre-All-Star break. And that's only been, you know, a month, roughly.
Yeah.
We still have a month and a half left in the season. Things are going to look way different by the final week of September.
You would hope. I mean, now the Gunner's bat's coming alive. Hopefully Rutschman's is coming alive. They tighten up defensively. The bullpen is a genuine concern. Nobody's denying that. If you are, you're living in a fantasy land, but to say they're done, they have the best record in the American League. And they've had a losing record for 2 months, and here they are still on top of the standings, competing against the Yankees and their bazillion-dollar payroll and whining-ass Aaron Judge and everybody else going on there. And somebody get Aaron Boone some new bubble gum. I'm sick of watching it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're done. We'll be back tomorrow with Turn It Up Tuesday. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore baseball tonight as Bordy and Lanley get you ready for the Orioles and the New York Mets. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.